God is raising up an army. And as a soldier, that means that I'm no longer my own property. I have been enlisted in the army of God. I have been grafted in. Amen. I belong to Jesus. As a soldier of His, I need to discipline myself and bring myself under His authority. If we as an army will join together, come under the authority of God, allow Him to lead, allow Him to rule over us, then we will accomplish the purposes of God in the earth. In Jesus' name. So we need to come together. We need to agree together. We need to join together. And we need to build together. How many know that God has not called us to tear down, but to build up, to edify the body of Christ? And am I my brother's keeper was the question that Cain had asked the Lord. And what is the answer to that? Absolutely, yes, we are. We are responsible. Just like you are responsible to take care of your physical body. Because it is the temple of the Lord, but if you don't take care of it, and if you're neglecting your body, it will tell on you after a while. And if your body doesn't feel good, it's like none of you feel good. So I want to just encourage us here, folks, that, you know, all of us, wherever you find yourself, wherever you work, wherever you abide, that is your assignment. Be on assignment. Amen. Bloom, blossom, bear fruit for the Lord in that place. Reach out. Encourage people. Invite them into the fellowship. Amen. Invite them to church. Amen. We are the church, but we need to bring people in. People need to be discipled. And folks, let me just say this. We need to commit ourselves personally to be discipled. There's too many that are just kind of once in a while show up and come and go, and they're missing out so much. And so many times I've seen it when the enemy will cause all kinds of distractions to get somebody from plugging into the family of God somewhere. Amen. That loves Jesus, that believes in His Word, and they will become weakened through a lack of fellowship, through a lack of being committed and connected to the body of Christ. I've seen it over and over again. It is so vitally important that we encourage one another. Amen. And you know, folks, let me say this. Don't listen to that accuser. The accuser will try to point his finger in your face and say, "You blew it. You're a loser. You know, you failed God. You might as well go hide in a corner now." Have you ever heard that? Well, don't go to fellowship. Don't go into church because you're going to be judged if you do. Because look how you've lived this week. Look what you thought the other day. Isn't that something? The devil comes along and he sows an evil thought and he says, "That's your thought." We don't have to entertain it. Amen. You're going to get evil thoughts, but you don't have to dwell on it. You just cast it down. Say, "Wait a minute, that's illegal. Out of here." Amen. Change stations. Get reconnected to Jesus again. Begin to praise the Lord. That's toxic to the devil. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm here to observe." And yeah, you can observe. That's fine. And if you're in a new place and you don't, you know, really know what's going on yet, how many think it's wise just to kind of observe a little bit when you come into a place, right? Say, "What is this? What's really going on here?" And pray and say, "God, what about this?" But if you're walking with Jesus, you'll know that there's something real here. I mean, there's authenticity here. We have the living God here. But folks, you know, there's a time to kind of check things out. And then there's a time to say, "You know what? This is good. This is good. And I need to dive in the deep end. I got to quit dabbling with Christianity." You know, we've heard of people dabbling with the occult. We've got to quit dabbling with Christianity. I'll have a little of this and a little of that, a little salad and a little dessert. I don't know about the meat. Certainly, I don't want to eat the broccoli. Cafeteria. Smorgasbord Christianity, right? Just kind of pick and choose what you like. And candy cane Christianity, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know too much candy is not good for you. You need the full balance. You need everything. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." How many have ever heard that before? How many have it memorized? We can quote it, right? "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." This morning, I want to share with you a few things that I believe are going to help us discern God's voice. How many would agree that it's vitally important that we hear the voice of the Lord? That we can identify His voice amidst all the others. How many know there are a lot of voices that are speaking? And the devil's over here saying, "Hey, over here, over here. Are you hearing me?" He's trying to get us to listen to the wrong voice. And he wants to impersonate the Holy Spirit. He wants you to think it's the Holy Spirit when it's Him. So we need to know the voice of our shepherd. We need to be able to distinguish His voice from every other voice. So the title of this morning's message is, "Was That You, Lord?" How many have ever said that before? Was that You, Lord? How many know that the more that we spend time with somebody, the more you get to know them and you know their voice? If my wife was to be in another room and with a bunch of ladies and they're all talking, right, I could distinguish my, certainly with a Korean accent, right? But I could distinguish her voice, just the tone of her voice, and I would know that's my wife speaking there. Even though there may be many voices, it's no different than a mother and child. A mother knows the voice, right, of her child. And vice versa. A child will know his mother's voice. So it is, we are to know Jesus in that way. We are to have such a relationship with Him that we know His voice when we hear Him speaking to us. And we will not follow any other voices. So in order for us to know Him, we have to abide in Him. We have to continue to walk with Him. We have to develop a relationship with Him. We need to practice listening to Him. We've got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we're just not sure if the Lord is leading us. But the Word of God, amen, is this is our standard. And this is how we can know the voice of the Good Shepherd, is what's here. Now, let me say this. There are many people who are teaching out of this book, but they're teaching another Jesus. But by the Spirit and the Word, we come to know Him. We need the Spirit of the Word. The living Word, amen? This written Word is to reveal to us the living Word, so we may know Him personally, and when He speaks, we can know His voice. And because the natural understanding and the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They have to be revealed by God. We need revelation from God. James chapter 3, verse 13 is our text this morning. Who is wise and understanding among you? James chapter 3, verse 13. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and what? Every evil thing are. Look at that again. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In other words, sincere. So this portion of Scripture really contains a wealth of insight into discerning the voice of the Lord. So we want to look at this morning, and I would encourage you to really spend some time really allowing God to clarify His voice to you, and to identify, yes, even this is the Lord speaking to me, and yet that does not seem to... How many know people can say the right thing, but be operating in the wrong spirit? They can know what to say, you know, but not have the right spirit. So we need the discernment of God. That comes through the Word and the Spirit. So, okay, first thing is we need God's wisdom, correct? And God speaks to us, doesn't He, in many ways, through circumstances, but by His Holy Spirit today, through the Word, through the written Word, amen, by His voice, the still small voice that we receive when He comes to dwell within us. We have a teacher, we have someone, an anointing from the Father, that He's there to teach us and to remind us of everything that Jesus taught and also to show us things to come. So this wisdom from above is, first of all, it's a pure thing. It's a pure thing. So if God is speaking, it's always going to be godly. It's always going to be holy. And it's always going to be in line with God's character. If the Lord is speaking, it will always be in line with God's character. Number two, if this leading is from the Lord, it will be peace-loving. The question is, will it bring peace? Is it gentle? Is it considerate of others? When God moves on us, somebody know God is considerate of us. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Is it gentle or considerate of others? The wisdom from above, is this leading that I sense submissive? Am I willing to yield? Is it, you know, what if others don't bear witness to what I'm thinking or what I'm saying? Will I try to force it on them? Will I try to force it to happen? Or will I push to get my way? How many have ever tried to do that? Tried to force somebody to be righteous or to do the right thing? You've heard it said, you know, a child, you know, you can tell a child that's being unruly to stop it. If you don't, you're going to be punished. And if they continue to do it, you'll say, okay, go sit in the corner and wear one of those funny hats. I spent a lot of time in one of those funny hats. But you know what? I can remember sitting in the corner a few times when I was a kid. But, yeah, you know, but I was certainly not sitting down on the inside. I was obeying the rules, but my heart was not with them. Sometimes we did it because we had to or else. That's the difference between law and grace, right? In grace, we want to, we get to. Under the law, you have to or else. But in grace, you want to. Why? Because you are experiencing the goodness of God, the love of God in your heart. And because you love Jesus, you do what pleases Him. You don't offend people that you love, right? Not deliberately. But am I willing to yield? Is this leading that I sense full of mercy is another question. And what is mercy? I looked this up. It's compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power, compassion, pity, or benevolence. Mercy is the disposition to be compassionate or forbearing with another person. So if I'm showing someone mercy, it means that I have the ability or the power to hurt or destroy that person, but I choose not to. Instead, I choose to be compassionate and to forbear and to say no. What you did was deserving of punishment, but I'm going to show you mercy. Just like Jesus, amen? We all deserve to go to hell because we have violated God's law. We've sinned and rebelled against Him, but God showed us mercy at the cross. Jesus took our place at the cross, for God so loved the world. And even when he was there and they had mocked and spit on him and beaten him so profusely that he was unrecognizable, and even from that cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Such mercy. You see, God is merciful, isn't he? If you're being led by the Spirit, he's going to lead you in the way of mercy. He's going to lead you in a way that is gentle and considerate, and that is peace-loving, that is holy, that is pure. He's going to lead you in the way of humility, of being submissive. Not trying to boast and arrogantly push my way. We need to ask, is this leading judgmental? The word judgmental means this, in this sense, self-righteous, condemning, and critical kind of judgment. Has any ever run into any Christians that were like that? Have you ever been that way? Non-judgmental, of course, means refraining from making judgments, especially ones based on personal opinions or standards. How often have we made judgments simply based upon our opinion about something or our own standard that we've set for ourselves? Well, to me, it's supposed to be like this. Well, to you, it might be like that. But if you're not doing it like I see it, then, you know, we stand in judgment often against people because they don't necessarily see things the way we do. Even in the body of Christ, we are gifted differently, and so we see things through our gift. We have a different perspective. It doesn't mean that you're wrong and I'm right necessarily. It just means that we have a different facet of revelation than the other brother or sister does. And together, though, we get the full picture. We can understand with all of the saints what is the height and the breadth and the depth, right? It's not something I can independently by myself come to a full realization or full maturity in Christ. I need the body of Christ. I need your gifting and you need mine. We need to work together and operate together, function together. Is this making sense? So we don't want to become people that are judging based upon our own standards. We know God's word is the true standard. Amen? That doesn't change. But we also need to have compassion and mercy, especially when it has to do with children. We all have children, right? Those of us who had children, we understand that your children you love dearly, but they're going to make mistakes. They're going to mess up. But you don't kick them to the curb if you're a good parent, right? You'll discipline them, but you'll love them and you'll try to restore them, and then you'll try to teach them the right way. So it is. We have to be compassionate and we need to forbear with one another in love in the body. And when somebody's struggling through something, instead of, you know, beating them while they're down, let's pray for them. Let's encourage them. Amen. Let's lift them up, because we may be in that position before we know it. You know, when you're doing good, it's always easy to come up and pat somebody in the back and slap them on the back. You just got to have more faith, brother. Another one is, will this leading bear good fruit? If God's voice, if God is speaking to us, it will always produce good fruit if we obey his voice. Is this leading impartial? In other words, am I driven by my own agenda? In other words, the voice that I think I'm hearing, you know, is it really the Lord or is it me? Because sometimes we even have an agenda when it comes to spiritual things that really are not from God at all. But we just saw somebody else do something or wanted something that somebody else had, and we start to set out with an agenda to get whatever they have, because wouldn't it be great if I could do this or I could do that? And you know, many people are not functioning properly in the body because they're not where they belong. You got to be in your assignment, and you need to find contentment in the Lord, amen, before you do anything. If you're not content in Him, if you're not settled in Christ, and you just want to go out and somehow try to do this and do this thing and that thing for God, you need to realize, you know, is it me? Am I being motivated really by selfish ambition? Am I possibly even doing this thing because I'm trying to draw attention to myself? It's a good way to think about it, isn't it? Something we need to examine ourselves in light of. Am I doing this because I am motivated by God's love? Or am I doing this because I'm trying to draw attention to myself? Am I doing this to bless you, to love on you, or am I doing this to get attention from you? Am I doing this to make a disciple of Christ, or am I doing this thing to get disciples to follow me? We need to examine every motive of our heart, and the Holy Spirit does a much better job than we do. Oh, we can all say, hey, my way is right. Of course, I thought it. Everybody knows what I think is always right, so we're poor judges of ourselves, folks. The Bible says we need to examine ourselves, but we examine ourselves in light of the Word of God and the Spirit, amen? What does God say about it? Because we can all justify what we do, and we're good at doing that. Well, if it wasn't the woman you gave me, you know. I could be a good Christian if it wasn't for Joe or Jane. Or is this leading sincere? The wisdom from above is sincere. In other words, is it consistent with what I say and how I live my life? Am I practicing what I preach? Am I, you know, living the message and not just proclaiming it? Okay, so those are some of the things. If you just take a look at that and get these in your spirit, understand this is how God operates. This is how you can identify that this is from God. These are good fruits. Amen. That come from the Spirit of God. Now, wisdom that is not from heaven, in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, or demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, or selfish ambition, confusion and every evil thing are there. So by contrast, James said that the wisdom that is not from heaven is three things. It's earthly, sensual, demonic, and it's characterized by these four things: envy, selfish ambition, disorder, and every evil thing. So when it comes to evaluating whether or not something is the leading of the Lord, we need to ask ourselves these questions. Number one, is it earthly? What does it mean to be earthly? What is the source of this? Does it have any inclination towards the carnal part of me? Is it something that will gratify my flesh? I'm hearing a voice. I feel pressed to do something. What is the purpose and what is the motive of this? What is the source of this? Is it something that will make me look good? Is it something that will glorify me? Is it something that will bring me attention again? Or is it something that will glorify the Lord? Jesus never did anything to glorify himself. He glorified the Father, and the Father glorified him. But he never glorified himself. He never did anything except the will of his Father. He denied himself. He could have done many things, but he denied himself and resolved to only do the will of his Father. That's why he had come. That was his assignment. And then Jesus told and gave commission, command to his disciples. He says, as the Father has sent me, so now I'm sending you. As he sent me, I'm sending you now to go and do likewise. Follow my example. Follow in my footsteps. Take upon yourself the form of a servant. Amen? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. What is the source of this? Is it earthly? Is it unspiritual? Is it from the soulish part of me? You know, sometimes, folks, we allow our emotions to control us, and sometimes our emotions deceive us. And your soulish part of you is often prompted by emotion. I hear a song and say, oh, yeah. You know, I'm a soul man. Well, we have a soul. Everybody is born naturally with a soul. And certain things will move your soul, will prompt your emotions. And you know, God gave us emotions, and emotions are not wrong. The problem is that we operate from emotion often. And if it's not an emotional thing, it must not be from God. Or if it is an emotional thing, it must be from God. I felt right at the time about it. So many people don't know what God says, but they feel that they're right. I felt like I was right a lot of times. How about you? It felt good at the time. Well, God is probably going to be okay with this. I don't really know, but I feel like he would be okay with that. Well, why don't you ask him? Why don't you look into the book and find out what God approves of, what pleases him? Is it of the devil? We need to ask ourselves, is this voice I'm hearing from the devil? Is there even a hint of darkness? Is this leading motivated by envy? Am I envious in regard to another person? If so, you need to reject that kind of leading. If your desire for something spiritual is only because you want what somebody else has, it's an impure motive. Amen? We need to discover who we already are in Christ and pray, amen, for the will of God to be done in our lives and find contentment in him. And it's okay if I don't get recognition. Am I going to be okay with that? The Lord looks upon the heart, doesn't he? He knows where we really live. So everything has to be submitted to under the authority of God and his word. Remember, it was Lucifer who got elevated in his pride in God's presence. And you know, folks, there's a such thing as spiritual high-mindedness or spiritual pride, where God will maybe anoint or use somebody and allow them to operate in something that was certainly way above what they could ever do naturally. And then the enemy wants to come around and get you exalted in yourself and in your ego, in your soul, to exalt you, to get you proud just like he became. And as a matter of fact, he was cast out. He fell because of that. The fastest way down, folks, is to be prideful. But if you want to go up, if you want to grow, if you want God to trust you and give you the true riches of the kingdom, humble yourself. Take upon yourself a form of a servant. Don't be in it for you at all. Get yourself completely out of the picture. Say, Jesus, I want to do this for you. Amen? I want to walk with you. I want to obey you. I want to do exactly what you tell me to do. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about you. Humble yourself. And even though I may have the ability, you know, to control or manipulate somebody to do what I want, if God is not, come on, God doesn't operate that way. He does not manipulate. He does not use fear tactics in the sense where he's going to control you. That's what the devil does. He's a hard taskmaster. Does this leading that I sense produce disorder? In other words, does it leave you feeling unsettled or without inner peace? Is there even a trace of evil? And I want to just interject this, folks. I'm going to tell you something that's happening, and I know it to be true. Sometimes in our quest, or even in our selfish desires, to be important or to be somebody or to be a great whatever man or woman of God, we have pursued things and not him. We've pursued the things of God. And sometimes people have become so desperate for the supernatural that they've left their discerning out, amen, on the back porch somewhere. And they have grabbed a hold of stuff that is not even of God. However, it has supernatural power. And there are ministers who have gotten famous and have much money because of a counterfeit gift that sometimes they unknowingly got involved with initially, didn't realize the source of it, but were not willing to repent and give it up because it had gotten them famous and gotten them wealthy. This even happens in the pulpit, folks. There are false apostles, there are false prophets, false preachers, who even can operate in what seems to be gifts of the Spirit, but are not. And selfish ambition is the motivation for the demonic. If you want to get into the demonic, it will be because you're selfishly ambitious to be seen or heard. Come on, we're here to make Jesus seen and Jesus heard. We want to give glory to Jesus, amen? Bring attention to Jesus, never attention to myself. There's not a one of us in here that does not struggle with that part of us that wants to be God. Right? And you know what the Lord does? He works in us. He works with us. Thank God for His grace. Thanks. If He wasn't merciful, we'd all be smoke right now. You know that. But He works with us. And He will allow us for a season, you know, to have our way. And to run this way and to run that way. But He works with us. And He has a way of bringing us back and bringing us to a place of repentance so that He can have mercy on us and He can heal us and He can restore us. You see, God's going to allow situations in our lives to bring us to a place where we now realize that, you know what, I just can't do it anymore. How often have we gotten excited at a church service or something good happened and we go out of here with a mind that, man, I'm going to conquer the world now? But we had to learn that you don't have what it takes to conquer the world. Peter had to learn that. He was the outspoken one. He was a zealot, you know. I was a zealot. Still am. But this time I hope I'm under the authority of God. I'm trying to stay there with it. Amen? Because zeal is a good thing. You don't want to lose that, but you want to submit it to God. Remember Paul the Apostle? He was zealous. He was a man that was consumed with zeal. He was serving God by persecuting Christians. He was a terrorist. But what did God do? He had mercy on Paul. He did it ignorantly. Do you understand today, folks, that the Lord's going to allow us to fail and the Lord's going to allow us to see ourselves? Thank God. But the better way to do it is just to say, Lord, I just want to humble myself. I want to lay down my agenda. Lay it down, everything, whatever my idea was of what I should be. You know, I think as a musician, you know, growing up, I had a dream of being a famous musician and singing and playing my guitar. And I'm just being honest with you, you know, like a lot of young people do, whether it is basketball or whatever, they're aspiring to be a fireman. Some people get to do that, but we all have dreams and aspirations. And some of those are godly aspirations or not, you know, but God has to get us over ourselves. And I believe that most of the time, the doors are not opening up for us because we're still full of ourselves. And God cannot trust us until we're selfless, till we die to ourselves, we come to the end of ourselves and say, it's no longer about me. Lord, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm just an unprofitable servant. Thank God you had mercy on my soul, and I get to serve you, and I want to serve you. But Lord, I don't want this to be about me. It's about you, Master, now. Amen? And that's where we've got to be. We've got to be in that place. If you want the treasure of heaven, if you want God's riches, eternal riches, you've got to be in a place where you say, Lord, it's no longer I who live, but Christ. That's the life I live now in the Spirit.